It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 643. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message on Skype. My username on Skype is miketechshow, all one word. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, and also Facebook.com/Mike Tech Show. The show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code Mike Tech Show for your free 15-day trial. I have a jam-packed show tonight. I'm going to be talking about QuickBooks and some problems I've been running into. Very, very interesting. I want to share what I found and some of the solutions. And NVIDIA drivers plaguing me now with clients. I'm going to talk to you about that. A fall creators update surprise. Something I learned this week. And you're just not going to believe it. And you're not going to believe what the fix is. Because I didn't. It's completely unacceptable. But you need to know, because if this is driving you crazy, wait until you hear this. And then going to talk about some PCI compliance from a listener's email. And then I got a bunch of other email. So let's start things off with QuickBooks. After a Windows 7 update, the last batch of updates for Windows 7, all of a sudden, users with QuickBooks 2015 would now get a COM error every time that they try to email something from QuickBooks, or even if we try to go into the Send Forms preferences to check it out. QuickBooks crashes after you get this just COM error. You click OK, and that's it, and QuickBooks crashes. Did a lot of research online, all the Intuit community forums, and came up with Intuit's response to this. If you run into this problem, it is a Microsoft issue, and it must be an update that Microsoft did. It has nothing to do with Intuit. Of course it doesn't, right? Now, one client in particular that is really impacting, two users are having this trouble, and I updated to the latest, greatest updates of QuickBooks 2015. This is QuickBooks Pro. And we don't apply all the updates because you never want to get out of sync if you have a multi-user environment. You don't want one person with updates and another person doesn't. If they're both modifying the same database, the QuickBooks software is not happy. We have a mixed bag of operating systems. The peer server that's running the QuickBooks database manager is Windows 10 Pro. We have one station that the accountant uses that does not have this problem. It's Windows 10 Office 2010. Then we got a user who's Windows 10 Office 2016, Windows 7 Office 2016, Windows 7 Office 2016, and then Windows 7 Office 2010. So this is all of the users. The two users that I cannot solve the error is Windows 7 Office 2016. Any other combination works great. But if you have that combination, it does not work. So we decided we're going to upgrade and do a clean install for the two systems that are Windows 7. We've been kind of holding off for Windows 10. They're both Dell Optiplexes. They both currently have SSDs, and I'm so glad my client agreed to putting an SSD, a brand new one, do a fresh, clean install of Windows 10, and then I can use Fab's Auto Backup to copy everything over, transfer everything. And then we still have that Windows 7 SSD that we label and put aside as a great emergency backup. And if things go ugly over the next couple of days, we can always pop that back in. Now, we only did the one user right now, and it's working perfectly today. But I will say this, when you're doing FABs, be careful. I know FABs Auto Backup tries to install the QuickBooks license, but I didn't have QuickBooks installed, and I think I checked the box to restore the license from within FABs. That's a no-no, especially if the software is not already installed. You're better off just activating from scratch with QuickBooks. Make sure you back up the databases. Now, remember, the databases weren't local to the system. I had a terrible time trying to activate QuickBooks. I had to call QuickBooks up and go through a horrible phone process with an individual to prove who I was and to try to get a validation code to get QuickBooks registered. It was not pleasant. So that was the only real fallout for that system. But I wanted to share, it seems like it's pretty common, Office and Outlook 2016 with multiple versions of QuickBooks Pro seems to crash on the comm error. So it's got to be an update from within Outlook 2016. I haven't figured out the details of why that's a problem. And is Microsoft working on something? I don't know. But I wanted to share the ugliness. I'm going to post two links. One, when QuickBooks gets the crash error. And then another possible solution that I didn't get a chance to try that's worth looking at. So I'm going to have two QuickBooks links. Problem with a client with the NVIDIA driver update. And this is a different card. This is a card in a high-end Dell laptop. An update happened, and the user has a docking station at home and work and multiple monitors. He ran into the exact same problem that I did, that I discussed a few weeks ago about my problem with the NVIDIA drivers. So now I'm ready, but I made it easier on myself. If you go back and download an older version of the NVIDIA driver, there's an option, which I like, which says, do a clean install, and it saves a couple steps. And once we figured out that this problem was a driver-related problem for NVIDIA, we went back to prior to the Fall Creators Update, because remember, this is all fallouts, a lot of this from the Fall Creators Update, well, at least this system, it's a Windows 10. One of the links I have in the show notes, the next link, is how to find the older NVIDIA drivers, and it gives you, you know, nice the version. It's nvidia.com/download/find.aspx. Go there, then you can fill out the information for the exact make and model of the card, and then you're led to a list of all of the back versions. So I went back, instead of, I think, 390-something, we went back to 387. Installed it, checking the box to do a clean install. So it does a clean install, it reboots, and then continues the installation. All was good. So I quickly invoked, do not do driver updates, because we don't want this happening again. It leads to another issue. All of a sudden, since the Fall Creators Update, sometimes when he restarts his system, even from a cold shutdown, all of a sudden, Outlook would start, and then a browser. Programs would start. It was very puzzling. So I figured, well, there's got to be something launching Outlook. So I download Auto Runs, which is a great utility to really see what's loading. I cannot find anything that is launching Outlook. I checked at all the typical places where something could be listed for Outlook to run. Is there an application running possibly that's launching Outlook? No. I begin to search this. How can Outlook launch if it's not launching from somewhere? If something's not loading it, how could it possibly load? Well, I came across this article with lots of responses. This will be in the show notes. The Fall Creators Update comes with a little added bonus. It's a new feature to prevent apps from being reopened after a reboot. You have to use the shutdown command. And if you want to restart with apps not opening, you have to use the shutdown command with the slash restart option. So let me get this straight. Windows 10 and Microsoft has decided that it will launch apps from the last session without telling us, with no way of turning that off. That is so unacceptable. And I have to build, and now I'm going to carry this on my USB stick, and my team is, I had to build a shutdown space slash S slash T space zero. That says shut down the machine and do it immediately. The same command with a slash R, that's a restart, and then a slash T zero, that's restart immediately. I had to write two little batch files and then put the shortcuts on the desktop and named it shutdown and restart. We tested this several times because I still couldn't believe it. So we left apps open and then restarted it, and they came right back up. We use that command. It closes everything. It will restart without launching those apps. I have the article. This is from a Microsoft engineer, was being referenced on the solution to this. I can't believe this. It just continues. It's nonstop of the aftermath and the carnage and destruction of the Fall Creators Update. I'm still shocked at everything I'm learning. I don't know why I'm surprised anymore, but each day I learn of something new that the Fall Creators Update has caused. I'm hoping that I'm caught up enough that where I'm going to see the issue, I know it, and I talk about it, and I'm going to be able to solve it. That brings me to it's a perfect segue to this email. And this is from James. Hi, Mike. I left work yesterday and was driving to the gym while listening to your pre-Christmas MTS number 640 podcast. My wife called in a panic and said Windows did an update of her computer, and now she couldn't use Outlook 2007. She told me I needed to fix it as soon as possible because she lives in Outlook and can't send or read email. I said, I'll check after I get back from the gym. I hung up and started thinking about the problem and remembering something about the Fall Creators Update breaking Outlook, but I didn't know the solution. Then, remarkably, as though it was divine intervention, your podcast mentioned the exact same problem and you provided the solution. I could not believe it. When I got home, I implemented the fix, rebooted the computer, started Outlook, and all was well. The wife was happy. Happy wife, happy life, as they say. Thanks for that, Mike. You saved my bacon and a lot of time researching. James, I am so glad I was able to help and so happy when I get feedback like that. I'm making a little bit of a difference and I'm helping. I love sharing the stories like that. James, I was glad that I could help. This is from Terry from Arizona, and it's about Windows 10 update problems. On my own laptop, I have seen Windows 10 updates cause these problems. 1, I remove all the favorites in Edge. 2, Cortana does not respond to my voice. No problem using the built-in mic with Skype or voice recording. And 3, Windows Hello does not recognize my face. Camera works with everything else. On someone else's computer, she could no longer print wirelessly, but the USB connection still worked. Because I truly believe they're not testing them as much and they're not testing as properly. I get it. The Office 2007, they don't support anymore. They may continually break that. But wow, having problems with Cortana, favorites in Edge, it's getting ugly. Older programs on Windows 10. This is from Dean. In the past few podcasts, you have been talking about problems with older software and Windows 10. Have you tried running the software incompatibility mode? Here is a link to the Microsoft support on the topic. Just a thought, Dean. Dean, thank you. And yes, I absolutely tried that. Matter of fact, I forgot to mention it, but that is one of the first things I try. And something interesting, when Windows 7 came out, the compatibility mode, when you would pick run it in compatibility mode as XP, seemed to work better than running compatibility mode in Windows 10, telling it to run like it's Windows 7. So I noticed that the compatibility mode seemed to work better in Windows 7, or I had more luck with launching XP programs. But this has not helped me with the programs that I've been talking about that have broken, but it's absolutely something you should try, which is the shortcut to the executable. You can right-click, go to Properties, pick Compatibility Mode, and try different options within that to see if you can get it to launch. Launch it as administrator. There's lots of great little options. It's worth trying because it only takes a couple seconds. Something I did not know, and I actually have to get back and work on this with a client, Dropbox versioning. And he says, am I missing something? Dropbox already has versioning even for the free accounts. I did not realize that. I'm not a big Dropbox user. You have to go to the website, log in, find the file you want to check in the list of files. On the right side of the said file row, you can see when you hover the mouse over the cursor, three dots after the share link. Clicking the dots gives you a menu where you can find version history. I hope that is what you want. Thank you, Giannis. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. That's a great, great tip. And I did not realize that was in the free version. We are going to talk a few minutes about PCI compliance. And this is a long email from Lyle. He has several offices that takes credit card on a little device from a vendor that will send them via an Ethernet cable or back up to phone lines. To be PCI compliant, you have to go through what they call an online or external scan of the public IP and tries to get certified for PCI compliance, and they're having trouble passing. Now, I ran into this with a client. My recommendation, you have to almost have two separate networks, and I keep one where it's wired to a separate switch with a separate firewall going out, maybe the same internet connection, but the one firewall device has a different static IP address, and that's the one we use for testing. I don't have anything doing DHCP, so nobody and no wireless on that network. And we give static IP addresses to the devices if possible. And then now you only have the compliant devices and you've isolated it to one network segment that's easier to manage the compliance with and any kind of penetration tests or any external scans that are being performed to see if there's an issue. I had a big problem where there was an email server that the ports that needed to be redirected from the firewall for email to work kept failing the scans. This was a few years ago, and we were ready to move the email to an Exchange hosted anyway. But as soon as I moved it to Exchange hosted, then stop forwarding those ports, problem solved. And we passed the scans, and we now no longer have a problem. It's all about what you have opened and what they find on your network when they're doing that external scan. And the big thing is to have as close to a brick wall for the firewall as possible. You don't want to be doing the forwarding. You don't want to have open ports because that's where you're going to be exposed and that's where you're going to fail these scan tests. Am I the end-all expert on PCI compliance? No, not by a long shot. I'm not. But I've done enough due diligence with clients to get them compliant, to get them safe, to make sure we have reduced the risk of the credit cards and the authentications being compromised. Lyle, I don't know if that's everything that's going to help you here on your path, but think separate as much as possible. You could still have one internet connection, but break that internet connection down by putting maybe a hub behind it and then separate firewalls after it. And then from the firewall, do everything. Or just have an inexpensive switch, that a firewall device that then leads to one part of the network that you have locked down. there are lots of creative ways that you can design this that can help you with PCI compliance for your clients. It's hard to get into the real details here without knowing much about your network, but I certainly, and I'll put a little plug out there for my consulting, I have reasonable rates with working with other clients and consultants, which you definitely can contact me, mike@mhsconsulting.net, and we can talk about that as an opportunity for me to help you. Answering it on a show like this, it's going to be very difficult without having all of the details. So Corey Mann asked a question, you meant a switch. Well, it's interesting. If you're going to have multiple static IP addresses coming off one Ethernet connection, I actually meant a hub, because that's just a pass-through. And if maybe your firewall, or maybe the, I don't know, the internet provider, and if the internet provider only has one Ethernet port coming off, but you're going to have multiple static IP addresses, you would want to begin and have different IP schemes. Can you use VLANs? Absolutely, and that would work also. So you would need an intelligent switch with VLANs. Gets a little bit complicated to design. The easy way is creating a separate network with a totally separate IP scheme that you use just for devices that are being used for credit cards. That keeps it very, very simple. It's what I found works. I think that is it for tonight's show. I want to thank everybody for staying subscribed, downloading, and listening to the podcast and contributing. I really appreciate it. Remember to support the sponsor, Instant House Call, and also my affiliates that I have, which is, and I haven't talked about much, if you have anything for a website, you definitely want to go to techsitebuilder.com for any tech website design, redesign, help with SEO, FABS auto backup for tech is tremendous for transferring files. I'll have a link in the show notes. And don't forget Bryce's Computer Business Kit version 3 over at technibble.com. There is a donation link in the show notes to help support the Mike Tech Show. And I really appreciate everybody who's helping out. That's it for tonight's show. And I will see you back here next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.